She was the toast of high society in both London and New York. Glamorous, sophisticated, Oxford-educated and with what close friends described as a wild and naughty streak, Ghislaine Maxwell was loved by women and adored by men. The daughter of newspaper tycoon Robert Maxwell, she had confidence, charm and a lifestyle to match. At the height of her powers in the mid-90s, Maxwell knew everyone there was to know. Her contacts book bulged with some of the world's biggest names, presidents, royalty and film stars. And if she invited any of them to one of her lavish penthouse parties, they couldn't wait to accept. But into this gilded life walked the man who would ultimately corrupt and destroy it, billionaire financier Jeffrey Epstein. The pair became inseparable, with Ghislaine, who had grown up desperate to please her tyrannical father, just as keen to do anything for Epstein. And that included feeding his seemingly insatiable desire for sex with young girls. In 2005, the parents of a 14-year-old girl told police that Epstein had molested their daughter. 3 years later, he received an 18-month prison sentence. After his release, the allegations against him began to spiral, and he was accused of running a vast network of girls for sex, including on his private island and ranch. He was arrested again in 2019 on charges of sex trafficking and was found dead in his prison cell a month later in an apparent suicide. As the authorities' focus turned to Maxwell, she went into hiding. A photograph of her outside a Los Angeles branch of In-N-Out Burger sparked a media frenzy. In July 2020, she was arrested at a secluded mansion in the US state of New Hampshire. Prosecutors accused her of helping Epstein sexually abuse four vulnerable women. In December 2021, a jury found her guilty of 5 of 6 counts, including the most serious charge, that of sex trafficking of a minor.
The road to justice has been far too long, but today, justice has been done.
She was sentenced to 20 years in jail for grooming and sex trafficking and served time at the Maximum Security Metropolitan Detention Center in Brooklyn, where she was photographed with a black eye. Late last year, she was moved to the softer Federal Correctional Institute, Tallahassee, in Florida, where she's currently working in the prison's law center and library and preparing her appeal. And it's from that much cushier jail that Ghislaine Maxwell agreed to be interviewed for the very first time in a series of video and taped audio phone calls from behind bars. During that call, Maxwell told our interviewers and her brother Kevin, who was also present, that she's suffering from depression, having lost everything. She claimed to be keeping her spirits up by working every day on her appeal. And she revealed intimate details of how this one-time socialite is dealing with daily prison life.
So they wake you up at 6. And you can go to breakfast, which consists of a cereal and a fruit, a piece of fruit, generally. And then you have to make your bed sort of military style. So there's nothing that's sticking out or whatever. It has to be a prescribed way, otherwise you can, to travel, you can get what's called a shot. And then at 7:30, you go to work. And for me, that means I go to the law library to help people. So they have detainers or they have warrants or they're trying to appeal their case. Get a compassionate release, or they ask about the First Step Act and how credits are applied to their time, that sort of thing, and I answer those types of questions. I also help people file out their administrative remedies. And that is until 10 o'clock, when they then, you have to come back, and they call lunch. is around 10:30. The portion control is very odd. And then because I'm on a no-meat diet, they're supposed to have either hummus or cottage cheese or tofu for you. But mostly, I'd say about 95% of it's tofu, if it's anything, or beans. I'd say 95% of it's beans, and then otherwise you have like a tofu substitute. And the tofu has no there's no seasoning allowed, so there's no salt or pepper or anything. So it's
bland as
it's beyond tasteless. And then you go back to work at 12. And that lasts until 3:30, when you come back and you have a stand-up headcount at 4. And if you are lucky, they call recreation at some point during the day. If you're at work, you miss it. And if you're not, you get to go out for an hour.
Unless her appeal is successful, Ghislaine Maxwell will be nearly 80 years of age by the time she's free from prison. And it's pretty clear she only blames one man for her astonishing fall from grace, Jeffrey Epstein. Like Maxwell's father, Epstein was an enormously wealthy man from humble origins. Also like Robert Maxwell, he would eventually be disgraced and die of an apparent suicide in disputed circumstances. In the 1990s, Ghislaine and Jeffrey had been lovers. By the mid-2000s, she was describing herself as merely working for the financier. In a 2003 profile, Epstein described Maxwell as his best friend, and much of his life appeared to be organised by her. Intimate photos of Maxwell and Epstein together that were released by prosecutors suggested they had remained close. Whatever the exact nature of their relationship, the prosecution was convinced they were a team in their pattern of abuse, with Maxwell seeking and grooming victims for Epstein. Victim Sarah Ransom, who says she was abused by Epstein, told the BBC Ghislaine controlled the girls.
This was an organization, sex trafficking pyramid, that was run by women. They would not... This sex trafficking pyramid wouldn't exist without Ghislaine. She was the enforcer.
Sisters Maria and Annie Farmer, the first to make claims against Epstein and Maxwell, both repeatedly testified in court that Ghislaine was involved at Epstein's behest. Now, Maxwell's supporters say hers is the classic story of a female scapegoat, a woman forced to accept blame for the sins of a man. Epstein's apparent suicide in 2019 robbed his victims of justice, and Maxwell claims they have unfairly turned their fire on her. Meeting Epstein has been the biggest regret of her life, but she is convinced his death was not as it seemed.
I believe that he was murdered. Well, shocked. And I wondered how it had happened. Because as far as I was concerned, I was sure he was going to appeal. And I was sure that he was covered under the non-prosecution agreement. But I wasn't in the indictment. So I wasn't mentioned. I wasn't even one of the co-conspirators. I obviously wish I'd never met him. You know, looking back now, I probably wish I had stayed in England. But leaving that aside, you know, I tried to leave and start another new job and move on from the end of 98, 99. So I wish that I had been more successful at moving on. Because I became a banker, so I should have moved on completely. At the time, I wouldn't have had a problem introducing people to my friends to him because I didn't know it was so awful. I mean, obviously now, looking back with hindsight, of course, but at the time, I mean, he had lots of friends. I mean, he was friendly with just about everybody you can imagine. There was no reason to imagine that he was someone of interest to people.
Extraordinary. Coming up next, Ghislaine Maxwell on Prince Andrew, victim Virginia Giuffre, and that infamous photo. You're watching a one-hour special of Jeremy Carr Live. We're coming back in three. Welcome back. You're watching a JK Live special where we're playing you extraordinary and exclusive clips of a video interview with Ghislaine Maxwell from Behind Bars. Now, we've already heard her talk about Jeffrey Epstein. Now we can hear from Ghislaine about the other significant man in her life, Prince Andrew. The Queen's favourite son has been left a pariah and banned from official royal family duties after facing serious allegations from one of Epstein's victims. Now, firstly, we'll see how Maxwell helped drag a prince into the gutter. And then, unbelievably, we'll be hearing directly from her and how she thinks she can save a royal reputation. This is the infamous photo that helped bring down Prince Andrew. Smiling for the camera and with his arm around a teenage girl, the Duke of York poses inside Ghislaine Maxwell's West London flat while she watches on from behind. The girl Andrew is holding in the photo is Virginia Giuffre, née Roberts. She claims she was just 17 when Epstein and Maxwell brought her by plane from the US to London and first introduced her to Andrew during a party at Tramp nightclub. In court documents, she says the prince sexually assaulted her in London and on two other occasions in Epstein's mansion in New York and on his private island in the US Virgin Islands. In one interview, Giuffre also claimed the Duke even accidentally vomited on her. The prince has always strenuously denied her claims. Andrew has always insisted he was at this branch of Pizza Express in Woking when Virginia Giuffre says she was meeting him. Infamously, he also claimed in his disastrous BBC Newsnight interview that he doesn't sweat after Virginia accused him of being hot and sweaty on the Tramp nightclub dance floor. Last year, after months of legal wrangling, Prince Andrew agreed to settle the civil case with Miss Giuffre out of court, reportedly paying up to £12 million on the advice of his brother, now King Charles. This must be one of the most infamous photographs in recent memory, and it has done Prince Andrew and the royal family extraordinary reputational harm. Let's hear what Ghislaine Maxwell has to say about it.
It's a fake. I don't believe that. I don't believe it's real for a second. In fact, I'm sure it's not. There's never been an original. And further, there's no photograph. And I've only ever seen a photocopy of it. I don't believe it happened. And certainly the way I've described would have been impossible. I don't have any memory of going to Tramp. Certainly not in the outfit that I would have worn. Her stories have changed so many times about what happens, when it happens, how it happens, with different versions. And each time she speaks, there's a different version. In fact, if you look at her BBC interview on the Panorama, I believe she says that he puked on her face. That's the only time she's ever said that.
In a separate interview recorded as audio only, Maxwell also launched a blistering attack on the integrity of Andrew's accuser, Virginia Giuffre.
I've read a lot of her deposition, and in her deposition, her statements are very categorical, and her stories are very detailed and elaborate. If her memory is so poor, then how can you rely on anything that she says? I don't know on which it is. Either her memory is so bad that you can't really credit anything she says, or it's more disingenuous than that. I can't obviously tell you which it is, only she knows definitively the answer to that. you know, and like I said, I think once you retract on two men that you make claims against on the grounds that your memory is faulty, like I said, I think that, you know, you have to question everything that she says.
Now, Prince Andrew has been branded a fool for settling the case without fighting it in court. And now his legal team are allegedly preparing a counter-legal action against Virginia Giuffre. No doubt tonight's interview is being carefully monitored by Andrew in Windsor's Royal Lodge. Coming up in part three, Ghislaine Maxwell addresses Epstein's victims, vows to win her appeal, and talks about how Andrew introduced her to Her Majesty, the late Queen. We're coming right back. Welcome back to part three of this very special edition of Jeremy Carr Live. We're showing you extracts of an extraordinary interview from behind bars with one of the world's most infamous female inmates, Ghislaine Maxwell. This lady used to have the world's elite on speed dial, but how her life has changed. But that doesn't seem to stop her from reminiscing about the good old days. These days, Maxwell's best friend is notorious double killer, Narsi Novak. The pair have become close since meeting behind bars in Florida, with Novak serving life for murdering her millionaire husband and her mother-in-law. Novak has even given Maxwell an affectionate nickname, Dottie. Spending most of her time alone in a small US prison cell is all a far cry from the days when Maxwell was at the very top of London and New York society, and Prince Andrew introduced her to the late Queen. All the time she and Hollywood pal Kevin Spacey sat laughing and joking on the Queen's throne at Windsor. Or when she was a guest of honour at the wedding of President Bill Clinton's daughter Chelsea. During the prison interviews, this time captured on audio only, Maxwell spoke about a moment meeting Her Late Majesty.
I thought that the Queen was one of the most exceptional women I ever had the honour and privilege of briefly meeting. And I think anybody of her stature, the longevity of her reign, her elegance and her sheer capacity for dedication to her work and to her job, really, was just astonishing. And it was one of the greatest privileges of my life to have the honour to meet her. She created a warmth and a sparkle in her eyes that was just mesmerising, really. And the story that we shared was about horses, because I love horses and she loves horses. And so we talked about horses briefly, I remember. And just shared a love of horses. And that was one of her great loves.
Maxwell's friendship with the Clintons was also one of the most enduring and influential of her life. Attending Chelsea's wedding was the pinnacle of Ghislaine networking her way into the former president's charitable work. A photo from 2002 on a trip to Africa shows Clinton standing on the steps of Epstein's plane with his arm on the shoulder of a smiling Maxwell. Clinton also personally signed a copy of his memoir to Ghislaine with love. Later, she would even use her connections to Clinton in an effort to get herself a lower sentence. Maxwell claimed that by helping launch the Clinton Global Initiative, demonstrated she has a desire to do good in the world. Friends say the former US president was smitten. And it's clear from her prison interview that for Maxwell, the feeling was mutual.
Well, it's one of the most interesting people I've ever met. He's was extremely sharp and interesting, and has a broad range of knowledge on the world.
So much for her celebrity friends. As Maxwell has told her family, she's lost everything. Her money, her power, her influence, and now her freedom. But what about her victims? What about the many women she's accused of procuring for Epstein for him to abuse? Girls like Maria and Annie Farmer, groomed by Maxwell before being supplied to Epstein. During her sentencing, Maxwell said she wanted to acknowledge the pain of her victims, but stopped short of an apology. And once again in this interview, there was a telling lack of remorse when asked, "What do you say to the many women who feel betrayed by you and want you to stay in jail?"
I say that Epstein died and they should take their disappointment and upset out on the authorities that allowed that to happen. And that, as I said, I hope that they have some closure by the judicial process that took place. And I wish them time to heal and to be able to have a productive and good life going forward. And that's what I hope for them.
And this is what she had to say when she was asked, "If you win your appeal, do you think you'll be accepted again by the very people who were once your friends?"
Well, I can't know what my friends will do or won't do. I mean, my focus won't be on that. I will always turn to what I've now decided that will form the rest of my life, which is helping other people who are or have been incarcerated.
Characteristically, Maxwell ended her interview with one final pity me plea when asked by her brother Kevin, who is the real Ghislaine. It provoked a typical response. Blame the media, blame Epstein, blame anyone but herself.
So there, everyone was always asking, who is the real G? Who's the real Ghislaine?
Well, I think the best people to answer that is probably the people who were closest to me, like you. But it's definitely not the person portrayed. I feel completely divorced from the person that people reference and talk about in all the various newspaper articles and TV shows and podcasts.
And so the biggest misconception of you?
That I'm the cruelest, meanest, horriblest person who's committed crimes.
So there it is, Ghislaine Maxwell, in her own words, in her first ever prison interview.